Hello and welcome to the Virtual Velo Podcast, part, in fact, of the Virtual Velo Network, which is the Zmunike, the Cyberadler YouTube channel, and of course this show, the Virtual Velo Network. I'm going to put this out there, but I think this is going to be a monumental podcast. Not only are we honoured to be the podcast chosen by the MyWoosh team to come and talk to the cycling esports community first, but today alone, when we're recording this, the press release or press releases have landed on the desks of all with big news stories and events. Chris, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, should I say?
Well, I appreciate you letting me back on the show. But it's been unbelievable. This season is crazy. It's like a whirlwind. Like every morning I wake up, I check my inbox, it's another press release. This morning I check my inbox and there are three press releases. One from the UCI, one from Zwift, which we're going to get to speak about later, and another that our guests chose us to make public today. And you know, it's an honor and it's really exciting, and I can't wait to discuss it all with him.
Yeah, I think this could be probably the most or our most anticipated show yet, Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting because our mission is to be the central source of news and information in the cycling esports space. So that means that racers, team managers, people that are fans, that are really into the sport, they look to us for answers to these questions. And the only thing I've been able to tell them recently is, just give me a couple of days. We're going to have a representative from MyWoosh who is going to be able to hopefully give us the details. And after these press releases came down, I'm going to be able to tell the athletes that we're going to have some details and we're going to hear it straight from the source.
Yeah, I think the lack of information sometimes has been probably the most difficult for me and other racers. Because I think, Chris, you were one of the first to write articles on MyWoosh. You wrote an article, I think, for Cycling Weekly, if I remember, and that was published in a few places. But it wasn't, I think, until the USAI announcement in August of this year that MyWoosh, I guess, really caught the attention of the cycling esports community.
Yeah, there's always seemed to be like this air of mystery around MyWoosh, right? It's not, centered in it's not in the US, it's not in the UK. There's always been kind of this skepticism over, where the motivations lie, right? Because it's just different culture, different, the racers are not used to it. It's not Zwifting anymore. It's MyWooshing, So it's one of these things where I've had a number of talks with the team over there at MyWoosh, and I've always said to them, listen, the community needs to hear from you directly. They need to have a voice so that, they know that there's somebody behind, the curtain over there and somebody that's, looking out for the interests of the sport and really wants to progress things. And, there's innovation and it's not all just, throwing a buckets of money at the sport and waiting to see if it's going to go anywhere. So, it's truly an honor. It's the first time that a member of the MyWoosh team is speaking publicly, and I'm hoping that we're able to really answer a lot of the questions for the community and also, give people a sense of, what's going on over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's always been our mission, as you said, Chris, to be a central source for cycling esports. Well, for me, it's also important that, if I'm on this show delivering information and news alongside your, incredible journalistic work, that I get on those platforms and I understand the platforms and I'm trying to embed myself with the teams and the community out there as well. And I, like you, I'm really honored to, be part of this sharing, from MyWoosh today with our guest, Matt Smithson. So Matt, welcome to the Virtual Velo Podcast. Why don't we start? Why don't you give us some of your credentials? What's your title? What's your role at MyWoosh? And, what experience have you brought to the MyWoosh team, that relates to cycling esports?
Yeah, look, guys, thanks very much for having me. I can't wait to have a bit of a chat about our platform today, about esports, about cycling in general, about all of the things that we're going to touch on. Who am I? You know what? I'm the 13-year-old kid that just started riding his bike with all of the older guys wanting to get better at it, that still wakes up every morning, looks at his bike and says, I'm going to ride that today. So the best way to sum up is I get to come to work every day and do all of those things that we all sit at home and think about and wish that we could do and wish we could change the sport and wish we could drive directions and change people's lives and all of that sort of stuff. So I truly have that opportunity to do that here. So at MyWoosh, my role really is to, I suppose, be the person between what does the cycling community want? What does the general participation, how do I get that across to our development team? How do I work with sort of our marketing team and the management team to drive the product to be the best that it can be, but also taking into account what can it do? What do we want to do? What does the community want us to do? So I have that lovely piece where I can be that person that can drive what we all want to achieve out of these things. So it's just the best place to be in.
So acting as the go-between between the community and the platform, does that also mean that you were the go-between, you know, the front man in dealing with the UCI then?
We had a management team. Our whole management team were involved in the UCI bid. I was certainly part of that, yes. But no, it wasn't solely me. The other things, you know, just touching on me, I started racing when I was 13. I'm 47, not 37. I wish I was 37. I've had no more than probably 3 weeks without riding a bike in all of those years. Sure, I race. I was not professional. I was probably not good enough. I've done tens of thousands of kilometers on all the different platforms. So I've, you know, this sport is my life. It's not just a hobby, as we know, it's a lifestyle. And I've just been lucky to be able to combine that into how you guys are as well, and into that in my whoosh.
All right. So I guess, you know, looking back on your history then, I want to go back to the history of my whoosh, you know, and it came onto the scene in 2019. Zwift were really dominant in that space at that point. And, you know, obviously because of lockdown as well, experienced substantial market growth. Now, it was considered at the time that my whoosh was basically a clone of Zwift in those early days. What led my whoosh team to develop the cycling esports platform in the first place? You know, did they think there was something was missing, or, you know, how did that develop?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question. If you've ever been over here, and hopefully we'll see you guys over in Abu Dhabi one day, you would see that the infrastructure and the sport is just booming. So cycling here is not in its infancy, is not the right word, but it's everywhere. It's everything. There's purpose built cycling. No, I'm not talking tracks. There's cycling parks that are 35, 40 kilometers a loop. You can get up in the morning and drive not far, ride a loop. They're built for cyclists. There's a new velodrome being built. There's a world championships coming. So the sport itself has been booming, but aligned with that is there's certain times of the year here where it's very difficult to get outside and ride. And to support, I suppose, the people of the region, it was nice to put something together that could be used for them in the summertime here, indoors, something that's accessible for everybody. And that's one of the main reasons why it started out as being a free platform as well, because it was to support the people of the region, was the original plan. What was realized was we could make this something better than what we set out to anticipate, and started to grow the platform and understand what was needed to, I suppose, people knew what Zwift could do. And it was like, well, hang on, we've started this, we've kicked this off. How do we continue to grow? What can we make of it? And I suppose predominantly that's the story in the background. And it's just become one of these things that's had a little bit of a snowball effect. And we've got bigger and stronger, and all of a sudden at one point we just sat there and went, gee, this is actually really good. I remember getting off the bike one day, it was about 18 months ago, I think I tested one, it may have been the new Arabia World that went in, and I actually said to him, I got off the bike and for the first time I said, this is good, guys, this is good, we've got something here. And I'm not saying I'm the catalyst for that, but I think we got to a point where we realized it was more than what we thought it would be. And then the push has been, you know, let's do this and do this well.
I know what's happening in that region. You know, at the end of November, I'm actually over in Dubai, Dubai Active. So I know the investment that's taking place in health and activity across the, you know, the community, you know, in the Middle East in general as well. But, you know, it's very different having a community-based cycling platform and then turning that into a cycling esports platform. So when did that decision really come?
Look, that was probably a little bit before my time that we would head into that esports realm, it was about giving the opportunity to be able to continue racing throughout the off season here. And, you know, there's lots of prize money around the region for those types of races outdoors. And I think it was just a natural evolution to take on that esports piece within the business.
Majority of the people listening to this podcast today know MyWoosh because MyWoosh won the bid for the UCI Esports World Championships for the next 3 years. You know, you talk about the progression from a fitness app to a cycling esports app. When did the World Championships enter the game plan for MyWoosh? And without like going into the details, you know, I want to just ask you a really pointed question. Why did the UCI choose MyWoosh?
Yeah, there's two answers to that question. So it came up about 12, 18 months ago. The tender went out for the year before and we pulled a team together and we looked at it very heavily and we thought we're going to go for this. And we spent a few weeks on it and we sat there and we said, can we deliver it? Yes. Can we satisfy the needs of the tender? Yes. But can we make it something different that's going to excite the public and make MyWoosh stand probably on its own two feet as something different? And the answer to that at that point in time was no. So we sat down and we had a look and we thought, okay, what do we need to do within the business and within the platform to be able to do this really well and have a real go at it next time this comes out? So that was sort of the history behind it. And so, you know, we had the biggest esports prize money event back in May last year. And that was that 7-day MyWoosh Championships. There was a million US prize money. And we really used that internally to be a real test piece of, can we handle this? Can we verify the riders? Can we categorize? Can we take people all around the world and race? And can we pull all of these things together? Can we have a points jersey? Can we have a KOM jersey? Can we do time day to day on stages? What are our capabilities? Let's push our tech team really hard. And sure, we had a hiccup on day one that was totally out of our control that we recovered really well from. And we put on, it was a brutal event, but it was fantastic. So we knew after that we could do it. Okay, so we knew and we were confident in our abilities. The next piece then was, well, what will get this away from the current, and let's say Zwift, let's be honest, we've got no problems with that brand and name. It's a fantastic platform. But what do we need to do to offer something different? And the structure in which our game is built, we can customize. We have an art team. We have a level design team. We can bring all these things to fruition very quickly. So we sat around and we thought, okay, how can we make this better? What type of event will we run? What can we pitch to the UCI that will make them stand up and say, what can we do here? Now, we approach that in a number of ways. Firstly, it's going to be how the event will be run, and we'll share that early in the new year when we get to that. But secondly, it was part of the announcement today of we're going to do this final live. And so a few of those things I think certainly helped us in getting this across the line with the UCI.
Just as a follow-up to that, was it UCI that was pushing for the live final in the UAE, or was that a suggestion that you made as an appealing feature that you could offer?
Look, I think it was probably a combination of both. I think there's been a lot of talk about how does this sport, and let's call what we do a sport, right? It certainly is an arm of cycling. It's not just outdoor riding inside anymore. How do we bring that to being probably what we all want it to get to? And part of that is to have some of this stuff live. And I think that there was probably a need or a want from the UCI of what that may look like, but there was certainly a drive from us to let's put a show on. And so it came from us. It was always where we were going to go with this. It was not a request or a obligation from the UCI to do this. It was something that we'd made the decision, we're going to go this way. And that was from day one.
So obviously when the UCI announced MyWoosh as the host of the Esports World Championships for the next 3 years, it was quite a surprise, I would say, to the community, you know, and myself and Chris included. And there was quite a bit of skepticism around that at the time. You know, and there were comments all over social media. And, you know, how have you addressed the skepticism that has arisen as a result of the UCI selecting you guys?
We've just pushed forward, and we're putting plans and we're putting things in place within the game to show that we're here, that we're real, we're for the community. We're doing things like we're doing today. We're out, we're talking. We want people to know us. We want people to understand what we're trying to achieve. And I think, as I've said to Chris previously, what we want is I want those people to come on and give it a try, and then give me a yell, send us a message, do whatever, and tell us what you'd like to see different or better. Don't be a skeptic. Don't like our platform. Do like our platform, but you know, let us know what it is. Don't just sit back there. Is what I say to those people. But we'll address all of that with the event that you'll see that we'll put on. We're not here to repeat what's been done in the past. We're here to engage and excite. So
a lot of the skepticism had nothing to do with the platform itself, right? It had to do with political concerns. It had to do with financial interests. Without coming out and saying it, I want to give you a chance to react to you. You've heard what the community has said. You know, it's out there. It's in black and white. So, you know, what is your impressions? What's your perspective on that?
My perspective is that I think people need to understand the area and the region and what's happening here. The support that this region has put into cycling over the last 3, 4, 5 years, that this event has been won on its merits and what My Woosh is capable of delivering for the people that participate in our sport.
I just want to come back to what you were talking about there with the format and the racing then, because these are the questions that, you know, I'm on quite a few of the team and the elite racers chats and so on, and every day I'm getting asked, people want to know how do they plan for the event? Now, even knowing when it was going to exist, until that press release landed on the desk this morning, I think it's going to be October 2024 is when the finals are scheduled for. But, you know, is there any additional information you can give us? Because I guess the other comment to that is Zwift, you know, the predecessors there, have spent quite a while honing what they believed was the format. You know, the last where we had the three race format, you know, from doing a standard scratch race to the system we got now. What's your view on that? You know, can you give us any insights on what the format might look like? How many races, you know, are we going to have in at the different stages potentially?
It's a hard one to answer, and I'm not hiding it from you guys. I would love to give you the specifics. They are certainly laid out. We've been working with the team at the UCI on this. I can certainly say that there'll be something in it for everybody. So if the usual watts per kilo skinny monster wins, I'll be as surprised as if the 1400 watt 300 meter guy wins. So all abilities are going to have a chance at this. I will say that much.
We're going to keep digging, keep asking the questions, see if we can get some information. But, you know, I think, you know, that's because, I guess, some of the skepticism on that side and some of the questions, because I race the Sunday Race Club, as you know. I've started to do the Sunday Race Club, which I have to say I really enjoy. But if I was being critical, it does suit, from my experience so far in the last 2 months, it does suit the FTP guys, you know, because there's, well, the last 3 weeks for me have been like mega 10 to 13 kilometer climbs and I've suffered, you know. So I think if I look at the My Woosh history in the racing so far, it's dominated by those strong FTP riders. But you're saying that's not necessarily going to be the case moving forward or with the finals?
I can certainly tell you it's not going to be like Sunday Race Club. Sunday Race Club's great fun. It's amazing, Sunday Race Club. We've gone from, I think in May for the championships, I was Cat 2 at 4.3 watts a kilo. I think I'm battling in the middle of Cat 4 these days, about the same numbers. So that's certainly gone along, and I know how hard it is. I lay on the ground for hours afterwards. But the event itself, it's going to be very, very, very different to that.
I think just a quick comment from me, Chris. I know you've watched a few of the races that I've done on this Sunday Race Club. What I do like is the dynamic categories, I have to say. Because, you know, when I first got that sheet through and it said I'm category 3, and obviously my brain is already thinking, you know, Zwift categories and so on. So I was like, I'm going to dominate this. And I could tell you, I absolutely didn't. I went the other way. I was out the back before we got to the final 10 kilometers even. But I've really enjoyed, you know, the dynamic style of racing, although it has been in the scratch race, you know, scratch racing essentially with some sprints that don't contribute to the end there. But yeah, I have to say it's,
you know, I have been watching you race, and it's been a really pretty interesting, you know, to see, you know, there are a number of you know, the racers that we see on other platforms that do really well, and then, you know, seeing you racing with guys that you know, we race with on a daily basis on these other platforms. But the one thing that I do notice is that the courses are not as dynamic as we see on other platforms. So, you know, Matt, are you preparing another world for the World Championships? Are there going to be new courses? Are there going to be things that are going to, you know, feature those dynamic elements that we have, you know, evolved to see?
Okay, I'll answer that two ways. Sunday Race Club, we deliberately make as hard as humanly possible. There's $300,000 a month go out to the community, and we want them to hurt to get it. Okay, so that's Sunday Race Club in a nutshell. Yeah, mate. Don't worry, I'm out there too. My wife's out there. I know exactly. I very much regret saying that, because it means that I've got that coming again on Sunday. But I'll be honest with you, Chris. The answer is yes. There'll be a new world.
Fabulous. We're digging here, Si. We're getting things. So then the next question I want to ask you then is, why don't you just come out and give us the announcement that went out today? Because I know that you're proud to release it, and we're proud to have you tell it publicly today. Because then I have some questions with that too.
Yeah, so October. So the real announcement today is October and live finalists in Abu Dhabi.
So there'll be a number that we don't know, and that'll be whittled down to 10 men and 10 women who will then be featured in the live final in Abu Dhabi.
It will be more than 10 men and 10 women.
Interesting. I wrote an article recently outlining USA Cycling's criteria for the World Championships, and we can talk about that a little bit more later, because there are some puzzling questions with that. But one of the main things that I heard from the racers is that it's going to be a tremendous expense for them, right? And USA Cycling is only going to handle a small amount of it for the real elite selections. I'm going to ask this question because I just think it needs to be asked. You know, there may be deserving athletes that can't go for financial reasons. Is MyWoosh considering that? And will they perhaps subsidize with that, those athletes?
We will have that in a release early next year.
So there's a potential that no athlete will be left out because of financial concerns.
There is that potential, yes.
That's great to hear.
We've got. I'd love to give you an answer to that, and I'd love to give you a real sort of scoop on it. We're still working through that process.
Just relating to that USA Cycling comment that Chris just made, then they've obviously made the decision that Zwift to host the national championships this time. Has MyWish been in discussion with any of the national governing bodies? You know, did you have discussion with USA Cycling about having MyWish host those national governing body championships?
So I've got a meeting directly after this with the Swedish Federation. So yeah, we're working with the federations. There was a release went out to them last month, informing them sort of basically what was going on, and that we'd be in contact, and we're starting to work with quite a few of them around what we can do, not just to support them in qualifying athletes through to the World Championships, but how we can support their communities, how their grassroots pieces, how community rides, how of all those things may work with us. But no, we have not spoken to the American Cycling Federation at this point. I've seen their announcement. If they want to use Zwift to qualify their people, that's great. No problems at all. I did find it a little strange that they've gone that way before they know what the course is, what the type of rider we want to qualify for the event. I think some of them are 60, 70 kilometers through an external promoter. Look, I hope it's great. I hope they get huge participation. The more participation they get, the more athletes, are in the sport and can maybe come on and try us moving forward. But they don't know the numbers that they're going to be qualifying. They don't know the courses. They don't know the type of athletes to select. So personally, I find it to be a strange decision without any discussion.
You know, the timing of it is also puzzling, that they're selecting athletes in January for an event that's going to be in October. You know, a lot can change between those two very different dates. So I certainly understand. You know, but the criticism is that my Whoosh, you know, should be proactive with these things, right? They're squandering a huge opportunity for raising awareness of their platform by not, you know, nailing down every single one of these relationships. Like, is it a priority to reach out to these national governing bodies?
Yeah, we're out to them now. That's been a priority. We've needed to get agreement working with the UCI, firstly, on the dates. So it was very difficult to go to them with our dates. We've got some more idea around courses and around qualification pathways and about those sorts of things. So we're actively speaking to them now to look to do that leading up to the publicly October World Championships.
You mentioned there the prize money, you know, that previously in the Sunday Race Club and the Race Championships as well. You know, and obviously My Whoosh have offered significant monetary rewards, you know, compared to all the other platforms there. You know, what is the aim? What are you trying to accomplish both in the short and long term with offering such big prize purses?
We had to build a platform. So we had to be able to bring the best races to My Whoosh. We had to learn from that in order to be able to host and bid for and then host the World Championships. So a lot of it has been based around if you don't have a brand, you need to get the best people to ensure your brand improves. We've had to offer prize money to lure those people. We want to be the number one esports platform. And to do that we have an opportunity to offer that prize money and that level of racing to those people. You know, remember as well, it's supporting the sport that we're all in. We've got a number of people that are professional esports racers just through racing on My Whoosh now. So there's a big benefit to not just us to be able to do that, but to our athletes as well.
Yeah, I have to agree. And, you know, I know I'm well aware that there are some athletes there who are earning a living and a decent living now from, you know, cycling esports and My Whoosh. So I just want to talk about the technology then. You know, I've gone through the process of getting myself validated with the Power Passport and so on and meeting those hardware requirements. So I'm going to run through a list, Matt, and I want to get your reaction and about what you guys are doing to address some of the concerns, you know, and so, you know, device compatibility, because I know there was a recent change, I think, from November with which device, and I think there's more changes yet to come, and which devices you could use for the top events on My Whoosh.
Yep. So we're talking hardware, yeah?
Yeah, hardware first of all, and then I want to talk about the device compatibility. So basically utilizing PCs, Apple TV, and so on.
Yep. So hardware, pretty much what we've done is aligned with where the UCI were with the World Championships last year in order to be moving forward. So really where we're going is self-calibrating trainers as a minimum for your primary. So there's too much ability for manipulation with other pieces of hardware that can be out there. So self-calibrating modern trainer is basically that first requirement moving for January. Now, that's not for our platform, of course. That is just for prize money racing.
Yep. Okay, so what about then device compatibility? Because one of the major concerns, and again, one of the questions, I am going to produce a video on it soon, but it's been able to access the platform you know, in the first place. That's been one of the big, you know, the graphics are fantastic, but of course, that sometimes limits who can utilize the platform. What's happening there to make it more accessible?
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. So early days and sort of around when I started, there was a lot of discussion on do we go big bang and come backwards a little bit, or do we start with stick figures and build forwards? And so the real decision was made to let's make this thing look and feel as good as we can. So that was initially where we started to go. Now, that did limit devices and has up until quite recently. Where we're at the moment is our release that I have finished testing actually this morning and signed off, which should be out in the next week, is going to very much reduce the specs for iOS. So earlier model and more basic iPads, iPhones will certainly now be more accessible within the game. Android is the next one after that. Then we're going to have Apple TV by early next year. And what we want to do then is we want to say, okay, you can access this on, what's it, Apple TV, $149 or whatever it is. You can access a fantastic experience on this device and then see if we need to reduce PC specs after that, we will certainly go down that track. Now, PC is the ultimate sort of gaming piece and machine that we have. But accessibility will be done through those iOS, Android, and Apple TV. And if we need to make it that you can access it on a five-year-old PC and that market and demand is there, we certainly will go there early in the new year.
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah, that should have a knock-on effect, I guess, with the stability of the platform as well. I want to talk about the game functions. I raced on Sunday, and I always listen to the commentary from Full Speed Events with Matt and Emma on the time as well. And that's how I learned that steering was enabled this time around, for example. So I think Mr. X100 was trying to shake people out of his draft. So where's that going in terms of how a user interacts with the game? You know, where's that going? Give us any insights in what's coming?
Yeah, it's super interesting, the steering. We've taken a little bit of a different view on steering to some of the other platforms. We're looking at it as a device to move people out of your draft rather than you move into people's draft. So we're experimenting with steering at the moment. We're trying some different things with it. That will continue to certainly evolve over the next few months, that functionality, definitely.
So obviously, I mean, Zwift have put a big focus on the gamification of indoor cycling. I'm not going to say cycling esports because, you know, the definition of what that means may change. But, you know, what's your view? What's Mindwishy's view on increased gamification for cycling esports?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. So from the cycling esports pure racing perspective, we certainly will be looking at racing. Now, we've looked at some really cool options within what we can do within worlds to make things different. So gamification in, and, you know, these are some of the thoughts. This is not something that's coming in the World Championships, but it could things in the future that could happen. There could be you choose one direction versus the other and you don't know where the bunch is going. You know, some things like that may be some of those type of real race gamifications. But the gamification in entertainment and community-wise, again, is then a different piece as well. So at the moment, I think we want to aim for pure esports racing, and the best racer probably wins those races that suits the course and the dynamics and their fitness. But for the general user, we're certainly looking down that path of how do we engage them? How do we use bots more effectively? How do we matchmake against other racers? How do you jump on and go, that hour went by really quickly?
Okay, I want to come on to that in a moment when we talk about the verification and authenticity, but I want to come on to might be a slightly more difficult topic, which is the draft and the mechanics of it. Because obviously anyone who's coming from any other platform, you know, and I don't think it's right that the critical in a way that it's not great. You know, it's just very different, Chris. I mean, you know, it's just very different than anything you've experienced before, and it takes some training. However, you know, I have noticed there are some delays sometimes, whether that's my side or your side, I don't know. But, you know, what's happening with the development of the draft mechanics?
Yeah, so quite a lot. So really, one of the things that you've got to remember we've got to battle against with people coming onto the platform like yourself and racing for the first time is the sheer amount of kilometres that have been done on other platforms that you get very used to.
Yeah.
We're not saying that theirs is right or wrong. It's just what we're all used to. So you come onto something different and it feels different and you have to learn it again. We've got some people that jump on other platforms and go, oh, gee, theirs is so weird, you know. So it's really, I suppose, part of what you get used to and train your brain around. In saying that, we have got a physics team at the moment. That physics team is working on the dynamics of, firstly, acceleration and deceleration. They're the key aspects of all of these games. And then looking, that then knocks onto drafting and how fast you go past people versus how slow you decelerate when you hit the wind and some things like that. So I've ridden our first version of that. It's really good. It's certainly, we are not going where the other platforms have gone. It will always remain very my whoosh, but we certainly are looking at refinements in that space.
So you mentioned that you have a physics team. I want to ask you some questions now about the other topic that's, you know, always been mentioned when people speak about Mindwishy and race on Mindwishy, and that's the performance verification, that's the authenticity. I know that one of our guests was a big part of that team, and he's no longer with Mindwishy, Holden Kamo. Do you now have a performance verification team that's you know, that's doing these things, whether it be manually or automatically. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that and the resources that you were devoting to, you know, making sure that everything is as authentic as possible.
I head up that side of what we do. And we've got a BI and AI team that are sitting there. I think there's probably 12 of them in that team. They're not exclusively building the verification, but that's the sort of technical knowledge we have sitting there. And what they're really doing is building this to be automated to the point where we will look to kick people out during the race that are not meeting our verification protocols. That's the future. That's where we want to end up, because it's great to verify someone out of a race at the end of the race, but when they've dominated and ruined your race due to they're not meeting the requirements of what we require, I suppose, for choice of a better word, it takes the shine off what we're all trying to do. And we've all seen that guy or that girl that can all of a sudden do 7 watts a kilo and bridge a gap and bring the same group across that was only doing 3 watts a kilo the week before, right? So the ability to do that is really where we'd love to head. But the team itself, so we've really pulled apart, and Holden did a lot of work for the business. We've changed the view on that a little bit, I'll be honest. And we're really looking more at the physiological view of our athletes versus the hardware. So we certainly have verification that your hardware is legitimate and that it's real. That's number one. But manipulation of hardware is very hard to track. It's very hard to track for whether you're us or any of the competitors out there. So everybody's got dual recording and all of those types of things, right? But we look at certainly history. We look at all of your power, heart rate data. We've worked with a number of world tour coaches to know what the limits are, what our recovery rates look like, what are the ability for people's world's bests in the top level. But the interesting part for us, and this is why verification is hard, it's really easy to verify the top athletes. We all know who they are. Everybody knows they're real, but you know, if any of them are bending rules, it's by 20 or 30 watts, okay? Nobody out there is paying prize money to ladies that are doing 1.9 watts a kilo all around the world. So having to verify them is very, very different to having to verify the top athletes. And that's why we've got such a big team. And that's why we've had to do what we've had to do. We have to verify, and I'll be honest, whether it's a man riding as a lady. We have to verify that it is who they're talking about, that it is who they say they are. We have to verify that that's the maximum of their capability, because how easy is it for someone to come on and ride at 2 watts a kilo and win prize money? So we have to verify that person is racing as hard as Si and I do every Sunday. So it's a difficult road, and we need people to understand that the amount of work that's put into this, and you touched on before, Si, about the dynamic categorization. So all of these things come in every week into that, and we'll see someone and we go, look, they're not cheating, but are they sandbagging? And then they get recategorized, because the problem in that space, it's not even so much that people are cheating with hardware or any of that sort of stuff. They're literally sandbagging until the money's on. Right. And then they come out and they take the money from the people that have raced really hard. So that's really hard to do. Now, I challenge that no other platform has to deal with that, because no other platform's paying prize money to that level of cycling enthusiast that comes on Sunday night and has a race. So this is technical. It's hard work. We have to tackle it from the top end right down. And I hate to say the bottom end, but, you know, my wife races category 4 every week. Okay, she's a genuine 2.4 watt a kilo rider. She loves her cycling, and she's as passionate about it as Michael Vink is, that people are not cheating, that she's racing people that are equal to her level. And the hell that I get about it if somebody, you know, from that she's never heard of comes out and does 2.45 watts a kilo and beats them. Oh, they're cheating. And you guys know what this is like. So this is a difficult road. We've got so many checks, balances, tests, thresholds set in to the background. Now, we were taking 4 or 5 days to get those results out. We're now getting them out by lunchtime the day after the race. And our aim is to literally get them out with automation within 10 or 15 minutes of the end of the event.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And I did say to Chris, you know, spoke to Chris pretty much straight after every Sunday Race Club I've done so far. And although I've got nowhere near a top result yet, I have actually, Chris, really enjoyed the race. It's been engaging, mainly because, first of all, I know what I had to go through to get to that point. So knowing that everyone else in that start pen has gone through the same power passport test, the weigh-ins, the heights, the, you know, the checking of the hardware that's, you know, that sat next to me here, for example, to get into that race. And I found it really engaging from that point of view. But it's interesting to say that, you know, you're also trying to pick up on those sandbaggers. Because I will tell this story, Matt, but I did my power passport test in a rush because I wanted to get on for the following Sunday. This was a couple of months back. And there's like is it an 8 or 12 minute block in that power passport test? A 12 minute block in there. And for the first 4 minutes, I couldn't get resistance on my bike. So obviously I wasn't putting out any watts, but then I didn't want to do the power passport test again. So I did the final 8 minutes. So therefore, when Matt and the team got my data, obviously my 8 minute power was much lower than the reality, but I turned up and did Sunday anyway, rightly or wrongly. And obviously I was over threshold and got annulled, but I wasn't angry about that. I was angry at myself for not getting it right the first time when I did the power passport test. But one thing that happened this week was the weigh-in post-race, because this was the Sunday was the final for the monthly final, you see. And I'm really interested that you made that request to do the weigh-in post-race on a Sunday. Can you give us just some of the rationale behind that? Because that's quite different than other platforms.
Yeah, it's funny. It was something that we were weighing in pre the event, and we tried a few different things. And then you'd hear someone's in the sauna all day and someone's doing this and someone's doing that. And we know a kilo is worth 6-7 watts, certainly for the top guys. You know, it might only be worth 3 to me, but it's still worth something. And what we wanted to do was go, well, how do we make this as level a playing field as humanly possible? Now, weighing in pre the event, yeah, we thought about it, but we're like, well, you know, that people can do some different things there. And then we thought, you know what, we're just going to do it after. So if, you know, you've raced hard, that's what your weight is. You haven't been able to, whether people are glycogen depleting or dehydrating or whatever, because we're weighing in after the race that has the main prize money. So you're going to turn up and race that race in your best condition. You need to use your right nutrition. So to us, it was the most logical level playing time to weigh in within 30 minutes of the final each month. If you forget to weigh in, you get a 5 kilo penalty that you have to carry all the next month.
Yeah, I think it's great. The emphasis on the weigh-in procedure, and it's like I've published a number of different articles on the weigh-in procedure because it's something that's really dear to my heart. I know it's that a lot of cyclists suffer with, you know, eating disorders and disordered eating. So your approach to it is really novel, and I wish I would have thought of it myself because it does solve a lot of problems. What I am really interested in knowing also, you know, we know where you are now. I want to know where you think you're going to be in the future. Right. So you have the bid for the UCI World Championships for 3 years. In 2026, when the last racer crosses the line, what do you envision My Wish will look like then? And what will success be to you? And when I say success, what will it be in terms of user growth, product development, global reach, and the impact on the sport itself?
It's a really good question. What I would love is that someone says to me in the street one day, you guys changed the sport. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to provide the entertainment. We want to be able to provide what the community wants. We don't want to get to a point where, look, I'll be honest, some of the other platforms have got to where there's a lot of development and then it just stays and it becomes, it's funny. I said to someone in here the other day, 20 years ago, I rode a set of rollers and did efforts in the garage, staring at the garage wall. Then it became an A-frame trainer. Then it became Trainer Road. That was a great piece that came on to start with, and that changed my life. Then Zwift changed my life too. I've ridden it as much as anybody, don't get me wrong. And then it became I'm back on my rollers again. This is the same day in, day out. I'm not getting excited by it anymore. It's still a great tool, and all of these platforms are. But we'd like you to be able to, if someone can get on in a couple of years' time, and that hour that we all have to do every day as a bare minimum becomes fun rather than being than being a chore, that would be fantastic. Would we love to have everybody on the platform that rides? For sure. But as we've spoken before, there's room for everybody out there. We'd love to have a stable platform, great graphics, great courses that people love. We'd love to listen to the community to promote and to do that. And by all means, in comments or how people reach out to you, I'd love to read what people want. I'll reply as we have on some of the Facebook pages. But really what we want to be able to do is just to build something that people want to be involved in.
What would you say is the ultimate goal for MyWoosh? Is it the Olympics? Is it to create a space where cycling esports athletes can earn a living wage? You know, what is the ultimate goal? You know, what are you, you know, if you're a pie in the sky type of a vision?
Your pie in the sky would be a combination of all of those things. Look, would we love to do the Olympics? Yeah, we certainly would. And have we thrown ideas around how that could be engaging for the people at home as well as the athletes? Yeah, of course. But so is every other platform out there, right? So that's not hiding anything, that we'd love to be involved in that. We'd love to be the pinnacle of esports. We really would. We'd love to bring the we'd love to have professionals, and we'd love to have professional leagues involved in all of those things as well. But we'd also, what we don't want to do is forget about the community. Okay. So your average bike rider it gets to ride 4 or 5 hours a week. They love their bike. They love the platform that they ride on. That we want them to walk away with a smile on their face. We want to listen to what they want to do. They're the things that we want to achieve as well. We don't want to just be an esports platform. We want to be into the fitness market. We want to bring more people into the sport that the three of us love doing.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. No, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I will say that it's great to see the engagement, or MyWoosh becoming more engaged with the communities. You know, I'm in the Discord and on the Facebook groups as well. And I've seen you personally, whether it's been people asking about their own training or about the dynamics, it's good to see MyWoosh engaging, you responding and giving feedback, you know, even with the updates. You know, I've seen really regular comments, which is something I think we have not seen before. And I think that is really a critical part. You know, the community from my side, we just want to hear from the organization and the people in it. So I think that's a really positive step. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us or mention today?
Look, what I'd love to do is invite people to come on and just give us a try. That's my number one thing. Jump on, have a ride around, have a look at the graphics, look at some of the really cool places that you can ride. And my second piece is, anyone that's out there that wants to race, Sunday Race Club Rangers, everybody from your number one elite guys in the world, right down to people that are, you know, club division three or C D graders. But what I really want to push is the ladies at the women's racing. So there's a real piece out there at the moment that women's racing is not being supported as much as it should. Okay. Now I have personal friends in the women's pro peloton. I've had them live at my house when they haven't been able to afford to travel and some things like that. We have equal prize money every weekend for women. I don't have enough women racing some weeks to pay out all of our prize money, guys. So there's a big shout out. Ladies, my wife is a recreational cyclist. She wins money every week. You don't have to be professional. Come on, those pro continental ladies that are not getting paid by their teams, give me a call. I'll set you up on a team on our platform. Come on and race. You can make a living out of doing what you love and racing with us on a Sunday night. So please, if I could get one message out here, we are out here to support the ladies as well as the men. It's equal prize money, 4 divisions, the same racing every week.
No, that's fine.
Really great to hear,
yeah,
Matt.
Absolutely.
Serious, it really is.
Absolutely. Chris, that relates to a conversation we had before Matt came on. Because I've been racing the Sunday Race Club, and every weekend I get off the bike and my wife says, so can I buy a new handbag this week? But she also this week has told me that she wants to start indoor cycling as well. So we've just got a brand new kicker shift. So maybe I should then put the onus on her and I can ask her the question every Sunday whether she's bought any money so I can buy some new cycling shoes or something.
No, go for it. And just talking about the ladies doing that, we've had some ladies lately doing the Power Passport test that haven't even bought bike shoes yet. So they're on there in their joggers, they've come from the gym, they've seen it as something they can get involved in. So yeah, you certainly don't need to be professional to get a start.
No, absolutely. And if you're not ready to get on yet, I would encourage, I think the coverage on a Sunday of the My Sunday Race Club with the Full Speed guys is really good. You might not want to listen to it while you're racing, but it is helpful to say that because the categories before go off 5 minutes before. So if I haven't had time to study the race course, then listening to those guys also helps. But maybe that's the starting point. Go and watch the coverage over at Full Speed event over on My Wish to start with. Matt, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time today. I'm sure the community really appreciate hearing from you and My Whoosh and giving us a little insight on what's coming. And we really look forward to a little bit more detail on these events as we lead up to the UCI Cycling Esports World Championships. Thank you very much. And hopefully we can speak to you again soon.
Certainly. And thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for Matt coming on that show. Chris, it was a really interesting chat and I guess I'm really happy that we got My Wish on to talk. I kind of have to do agree with what he was saying. You know, let's be honest, Zwift have dominated that space for quite a while now. And I guess My Wish did have to and do have to do things a little bit differently to try and earn their space in this place of cycling esports, I guess. And the fact that they've got prize money in there, the way that they're trying to build the community, I think is really, really positive. And I think if we see those improvements that it sounds like they're doing, and they've already made steps on the verification, but in terms of the dynamics and the accessibility of the game, then hopefully we can see My Wish really move forward. But from one platform to another, Chris, I want to talk about the other press release that literally landed on your inbox this morning, the Zwift Games, because I guess in a way this is a response to My Wish winning the UCI bid for the cycling esports. So, I mean, I've had a chance to go through it and I've read it in detail. Have you had a chance to have a brief look?
Yeah, it's really pretty amazing that all of these things happened on the same day. Is it a coincidence? It has to be a coincidence. I'm sure that they're not scheming for world domination. They're doing these things separately. But it really is pretty amazing. And I don't know if you remember, I wrote the article about, after this season on Zwift, and we had that podcast, the Racers edition. And, they said during the press conference that Zwift is doubling down on esports. And I made the comment then that they're going to utilize the resources that they would have devoted to the UCI Esports World Championships into another event. And, we're going to be able to break this down at some point and kind of think about whether, it's a reaction to the UCI, whether it's in cooperation with the UCI, whether Zwift needs the UCI, or are they saying that they don't. But, this is definitely a reaction to that. But I don't necessarily think it's a competition, it's us against the world championship. I just think it's something different. And they're utilizing this as a way to progress the sport, do something different and something momentous and impactful.
So I'm going to go through the press release. I'm going to paraphrase a little stages, but I think you're right. This is Zwift playing to their strength, which is the community. So this is what they're doing here with the Zwift Games, is they're trying to make the whole cycling esports community that are on Zwift participate in this event. So they say that it's going to aim to set records of participation, set to become the largest cycling esports event ever held, essentially. So overall, basically, what they're trying to do is crown a elite Zwift Games champion for both men and women across three different disciplines. Okay, so basically we've got similar to what they did in the World Championships with a multi-discipline event, first of all, and they're calling it the Sprint Championship. So this is going to be back-to-back multiple events, similar to what we saw in the Worlds, and also we saw in the Olympic event that was held late last year too. But again, the community can get involved, and importantly, what I do like is there's a pathway from the community through to these elite events. And they also mentioned that they were holding exhibition races. Now, immediately when I read that, Chris, and I messaged you thinking, okay, are they on about doing live IRL events? I spoke to Zwift and I messaged them. Events will still be remote. So there is no plans at this stage, as far as we know, and as far as the communication back, to hold any live events. So it will still be a remote event, but they're going to exhibit new race formats is the way that I've come to understand that part of the press releases. The understanding is as well that the qualification, some of the qualification for those elite finals and the elite finals will have verification of athletes. What form and who they use, again, whether they will look at utilizing Indivelo services as they have done with the Grand Prix, I don't know. but that's to happen. So we got this sprint championship, fast pace, back to back, multiple events, and then we will get crowned the sprint championship elite men and women. Then we've got this epic championships. This is basically like a long event. This is 60 kilometers plus. So it's a real test of endurance and resilience there. This is going to be on one of the new coastal routes with the new release of the part of the Watopia that they've just done.
That one sounds really appealing to me. I love the long epic events, but I think from what I read here, it also seems like they're going to be creating some new routes for these competitions as well, which, you know, everyone likes a new route, you know? So, you know, that's, it just seems that they're putting some resources into that as well. But the final one that you're going to mention here is the one that everyone's going to go crazy about.
Yeah, well, we mentioned this in the Zwift Grand Prix when we had Kristen Kolchinski on the show as well, because typically, let's be honest, and I think we've seen the same in ZRL, you know, the races have tend to favour the sprinters or, you know, those riders who can sit in a little bit more. Arguably, the dynamics that did change and made it more difficult just to sit in. To be honest, I think those dynamics mean that we've virtually gone back to Zwift Dynamics 3.0 and you can sit in comfortably and you're blocked across the road, but... You know, I don't think we're seeing the same amount of breakaways that we saw. But ultimately, this final event, this final championship is the Hill Climb Championship. So this is basically taking on the iconic Alpe de Zwift course. You know what? They said 600,000 people, individual Zwifters, have climbed Alpe de Zwift since they opened that particular route. So yeah, I think it was 2018 when they opened that route. So it gets some use. I certainly use it for a lot of my training. But yeah, absolutely. So there's going to be the Hill Climb Championships that take part on Alpe de Zwift.
You know, it'll be really interesting to see if there's a new record set during that championship, the qualifications and the lead into that. You know, because I'm not somebody who like follows those leaderboards or anything, but it would be pretty epic if that, you know, that record was broken during this event.
I mean, that's a really interesting comment because let's be honest, the peaks were that lockdown period of Zwift usage. But, you know, there were some major events that took on that time. The big thing that's got to change here, and I hope they do it, is the communication. Because if I'm being brutally honest, Zwift Grand Prix, both myself and I think the elite teams and elite racers, the communication pre-event has been really poor. I don't think they've showcased that elite race that they have, this Grand Prix event, which is an iconic Zwift event now. You know, I don't think they've done enough to promote that. So hopefully this is something that they really get behind. This is peak Zwift season, right? So there's a lot going on right now on the platform. We've got the Zed Racing. We're just coming into the Zwift Academy time as well. I hope that these championships don't get lost in the plethora of events and activities that are taking the place. And then it does engage... I think what they've got to try and do, if they want to make this the biggest event, they've got to find a way of trying to engage the non-racers on the platform.
Well, and when you talk about the racers, the non-racers, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how much emphasis the elite racers put on this type of an event. Like, do you think that they're, you know, being the Zwift champion is going to be as significant to them as being the world champion? They're two different platforms, you know, there are a lot of racers that have only raced on Zwift. Maybe they still think that, you know, being the Zwift champion is more important to them, right? It's really interesting to see. The other thing that's really interesting to see is that statement that you made earlier is set to become the largest cycling esports event ever held. What does that mean for the Zwift Racing League?
Yeah, no, absolutely. well, yeah, let me just come back to that point there first. So is being called the Zwift Games champion as good as being called the UCI Cycling Esports World Champion? Arguably, we've had this discussion before. I think not. However, one thing they did say, and when they have put out there, is the prize money. They say this is going to be the biggest prize pot that Zwift have ever put out for an event. So that may encourage, certainly that will motivate and encourage some people. But is this, yeah, what does it mean for the community? What does it mean for ZRL? Well, I tell you what, I think we should get Martin on from the ZRL to maybe give us his thoughts on this as well. But you're right, is it going to dilute what's already out there? You know, we spoke about the Zwift Academy, but you're right, ZRL, absolutely. Is this going to dilute what's happening with ZRL? We'll have to wait and see.
Well, thankfully, we're going to have Martin on for the episode 34, our next episode of the Virtual Velo podcast. So we'll be able to ask him that. And we want to also ask him about the we've had another one of those cheating scandals in the community, right? And he has told me that they have some built-in systemic anti-cheating mechanisms that's proprietary to what he does. So I'm really curious about that. And, you know, there were some rule changes with the microbursting, which is a hot topic now, and utilizing the algorithm for benefit. So we want to have Martin come on, and, you know, it's kind of timely that we'll be able to ask him this question as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the questions I did ask Zwift, actually, on the Zwift Games. You know, that's why I know that you know, got insights into the level of verification that's taking place with the elites. But, you know, I think there's a greater voice coming from the community about, well, what can we do at community level racing as well? And hopefully Martin has some of those answers. Chris, I know there's some exciting events coming up. Do you want to tell us about this Star Trek cycling event that I know that's coming up and you're attending?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I live on Long Island, I live pretty far on Long Island. It takes me a couple hours to get into New York City, but there are always incredible events in New York City. It's, you know, it's a pretty cool place to be. But I came across this Star Trek cycling event. They're having a benefit, and what really piqued my interest is that the guest of honor is Eric Min. So I'm like, wow, that would really be cool if I could get to this thing. And, you know, then I started, you know, digging into it a little bit deeper, and I'm like, wow, this is an incredible organization. Basically, Star Trek is a zero barrier program introducing inner city kids to bike racing. And that's regardless of experience or family income. And it's the scope of it is pretty spectacular. They put 200 kids on the track, and there's a velodrome not very far from New York City. And they did put 200 kids through the velodrome a semester. And the program is celebrating its 20-year anniversary. Wow. And it's going to be cool. You know, Matt Stevens is going to be the MC. Eric Min, the Zwift co-CEO, is going to be the guest of honor. They're having some pretty amazing guests too. Magnus Sheffield, who is a UCI World Tour team pro. Olympic champion Jennifer Valente is going to be there. She's, you know, an incredible talent. Riley Sheehan, the first American racer ever to win Paris-Tours, is going to be there. But the thing that I think is really cool, and it's one of these mainstream events where there's the blending between cycling esports and traditional cycling. They're going to be honoring Kristen Kolchinski and her team leader, Nicola Cramner, and Laurel Quinones of Team 2024. They're going to be honored at the event also. So I'm really happy about having the opportunity to go there, and I'm going to cover it and then, you know, maybe tell us the community about what was going on there.
No, you know what? Firstly, I mean, not only now are you getting, you know, press releases land on your desk, you're getting invited to star-studded events now as well. I'm beginning to think I'm the wrong side of the water, but what it does highlight, you know, you've mentioned a few really top cycling esports names there, you know, crossing over with, again, IRR racing and track racing and what sounds like a great non-for-profit or non-barrier program there. So that's fantastic. Closing remarks though, we want to hear from you in the community. What do you think of the show? What do you think of the comments? Just before we go, we want to hear from you, the community. What do you think about our discussions? What do you think about what we've heard from MyWoosh today? Are you excited about their plans for the Cycling Esports World Championships? And we've got more details to come. What are your thoughts on the Zwift Games? How's that going to impact on ZRL? Are you excited to get involved with this new championships that's coming Zwift way? If there's more things you want to hear about in the show, if there's more guests you'd like to get onto the show, again, leave your comments, leave your feedback. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next show where we've got Martin Carew from the WTRL, and we're going to talk all things Zwift Racing League. We'll see you soon.